תפילת החברים. בורא.
The prayer of the friends. בורא. Creator. With every step, we thank you for opening our eyes to our true nature. Yet, we have no strength to break this heart of stone. We call on you to finish the work as you promised. Remove the false partitions. Take our hearts and melt them into one. Turn our heart to flesh and let it beat with your love.
The article, What is the Concealed Things Belong to the Lord Our God in the Work? By Rabash. It is known that in observing Torah and mitzvot, there is the act and there is the intention. An act means that a person should observe Torah and mitzvot with all detail and precisions, in return for which a person should believe that he will be rewarded. It is as the Rambam, Maimonides, says at the end of Hilchot Tshuva, hence, when teaching little ones, women, and uneducated people, they are taught to work only out of fear and in order to receive a reward, until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom, they are taught that secret little by little. It follows that they are looking at the practice of mitzvot as being for sake of those engaging in them. This is called the revealed part of the work. It means that a person can see if his actions are in order, and when another person looks at how he observes Torah and mitzvot, he too can see. This is called the revealed part, since the actions that a person does are revealed to him as well as to others. This is not so with the intention, meaning to aim that these actions will be for the sake of the Creator. With the intention, a person does not see the truth. He might deceive himself, because a person cannot see the truth, because one does not find fault in oneself. It follows that the intention is called the concealed part. That is, it is concealed from the person himself. He cannot know the truth. And especially, the intention is concealed from his friend, for one cannot see what his friend intends when he performs mitzvot. This is why this part is called the hidden part of the work. Accordingly, in our work, turn a revealed part, which is called actions. A concealed part, which is called the intention for the sake of the Creator. And we should discern between the work of the general public and the work of the individual. In the work of the general public, a person sees that he is making progress. That is, each time he acquires more Torah, more mitzvot, and therefore has motivation to work and is always happy. He cannot understand why all people do not connect to Torah and mitzvot, since he feels a good taste in Torah and work. This taste shines to the general public as surrounding light, and it is called still of Kedusha. In other words, as in corporeality, all the plants emerge from the still. So in the work, every vegetative in the work comes from the still of Kedusha. Without the still, there is no vegetative. This surrounding light shines in the general public if they take upon themselves the burden of Torah and mitzvot. But the main point is that they have no intentions that go against the body called self-benefit. Since with the general public, we should learn, as Maimonides says, in order to receive reward. And to the extent that we believe in reward and punishment, they already have fuel to advance in the work happily and willingly. This is not so when a person wants to walk on the path of meriting to work in order to bestow, which is against the body's nature. At that time, the body immediately begins to resist his path. Then, the faith that illuminated for him as surrounding light is not enough for him. And he sees that he is lacking faith in the greatness of the Creator, to have the strength to overcome the body's question. Then begins a procession of ascents and descents, and a person thinks that he is not worthy of being a worker of the Creator with the aim to be able to do everything for the sake of the Creator. And he sees that foreign thoughts keep coming to him, which he cannot overcome. However, according to what Baal HaSulam said, we must believe that the Creator sends us these thoughts, so that by this we will receive a desire to pray to Him from the bottom of the heart, as it is written in the article, Other Gods, from the year Tav Shin Hei. Thus, we must increase our prayers to the Creator to give us the desire to bestow, and we cannot obtain that desire by ourselves. We must only seek advice in two manners. One, to seek advice how to feel that all that we are missing is the power to bestow. Two, to ask Him to give us this power. This is called 613 18, meaning 613 counsels, how to come to have a kli, which is called lack, and the filling, which is called light. In other words, the Creator gives the desire to bestow, and this is called whatever you can do with your hand and strength, that do. At that time, the Creator gives him the second nature called desire to bestow. Only once we achieve the desire to bestow can we be rewarded with 613 pkudin, or deposits, which is the light that is clothed in the 613 mitzvot. According to the above, we should interpret the verse the concealed things belong to the Lord our God. This pertains to the intention, which is to aim that all his actions will be for the sake of the Creator. This belongs to the Creator. In other words, it is not within man's power to obtain this force by himself. For this reason, a person needs to know, when he sees that he will never be able to come to work for the sake of the Creator, at that time, a person wants to escape the campaign because he sees that he will never achieve it. This is why the verse says, the concealed things belong to the Lord our God. This means that the concealed part, meaning the aim to bestow, is out of one's hands, but in the hands of the Creator to give the second nature, called the desire to bestow. This is why it is written, concealed, and it belongs to the Creator, as He should give this. However, when a person is rewarded with the desire to bestow, he should not pray for the will to receive to die. Since then, if the will to receive dies, the person will not be able to see the lowliness of the will to receive. It follows that the will to receive within him will die without repentance. But the person wants the will to receive to repent, for by this he takes vengeance against the will to receive. That is, a person sees how the will to receive must work according to the will of the desire to bestow. For repentance means that the will to receive surrenders to the desire to bestow. And the will to receive must now work in a manner of receiving in order to bestow. But if the will to receive were to die before a person could subdue it, so it receives in order to bestow, it follows that the person did not correct the will to receive. According to the above, we should interpret what is written, "The God of my mercy shall meet me." Rashi interprets, will help me before the hand of my enemies governs me, will see me in my tree, which I crave to see. Do not kill them, as this is not an apparent vengeance, lest my people forget, for all the dead are forgotten. Move them with your power and bring them down. Rather, move them from their assets so they become poor. This is a vengeance that will be remembered for many days. We should understand who David cursed like that, telling the Creator not to kill his enemies, but leave them alive and poor. Whereas, if he kills them, they will not suffer. So he asks him to keep them alive, but poor. Only in this manner will he be able to take revenge from them by bringing them down from their governance. As it is written, bring them down. How is this matter interpreted in the work? First, we must understand who is David. David is called Malchut, which is the kingdom of heaven. Malchut of Kedusha is the desire to bestow, and its opposite is the desire to receive for oneself. which is called the Sitra Acha, or the other side. This is the opposite of Kedusha, and is the enemy of Kedusha. As it is written, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to put him to death. That is, the will to receive wants to kill the desire to bestow. David, who is the Merkava, the chariot for Malchut of Kedusha, prayed that his enemy, the will to receive, who wants to kill the desire to bestow, which is Kedusha, that the Creator will hurry his salvation so that the will to receive, meaning the enemy, will not be able to govern him. This is the meaning of the God of my mercy will meet me, meaning that the Creator will deal mercy with me first. In other words, the desire to bestow, called chesed, will govern the will to receive. However, do not kill them. For this is not an apparent vengeance, lest my people forget, since the dead are all forgotten. Move them with your power and bring them down, meaning move them from their assets and make them poor. This is vengeance that will be remembered for many days. To understand these curses in the work, we should interpret that he was cursing the enemy, the will to receive for himself, that it would not die. That is, if the will to receive were to be cancelled, the will to receive would not witness the domination of the desire to bestow. In other words, vengeance means that the other one sees how he must be subdued. Here it means that the wholeness is the sweetening of the judgments, which is called delighting gvurot. For this reason, if the will to receive is cancelled, and only the desire to bestow governs, this will not complete the purpose, since the purpose of creation was to do good to his creations. And not for the creations to bestow upon the Creator delight and pleasure. It is known that the reason why the creatures must bestow contentment upon the Maker is only a correction for the creatures. So there is no apparent vengeance here, since the will to receive does not surrender to the desire to bestow, since the will to receive is no longer in existence. But when the will to receive is alive and must accept the governance of the desire to bestow, this is called apparent vengeance. In other words, it is apparent to all that the will to receive is now working only thanks to it, meaning by taking upon itself the desire to bestow. This is called receiving in order to bestow. That is, it accepted the purpose of creation to do good to his creations. And at that same time, he is in dvikut with the Creator. For he wants to give contentment to his Maker. At that time, he feels what he can give to the Creator so he will enjoy. And he sees that only by receiving from the Creator delight and pleasure, the Creator enjoys, as this was the purpose of creation. According to the above, we should understand the meaning of the sweetening of the Gvurot. Gvurot means hitgabrut, or overcoming, which pertains primarily to when a person works and uses the vessels of reception. Normally, we learn that the acts impact the intention. Therefore, when he uses the vessels of reception and wants to aim the opposite of the act, meaning to bestow, this requires extra overcoming. Usually, the gvurot are called judgments, because they were tzimtzum, a restriction, and judgment over the vessels of reception, that it is forbidden to use them without the aim to bestow. Hence, when a person is placed under the rule of the desire to receive, these desires cause him a state of bitterness, and he wants to get rid of them. He always thinks, how can I get rid of them? And they poke his mind, and if he would kill them so they would vanish from the horizon, he would be so happy. But this is what David says, do not kill them, lest my people forget. Move them with your power and bring them down. Move them means move them from the place, from one place to place, another place, and bring them down from the height of their wealth, so they are poor. That is, let them not receive anything in their vessels of reception, but be poor without any abundance. His vengeance will be that his will to receive will surrender and take upon itself the control of the aim to bestow. His curse will be that they will all come into the Kedusha called reception in order to bestow. This is called sweetened gvurot. This is the meaning of Rosh Hashanah, called terrible days. The Holy Ari says that Rosh Hashanah is the building of Malchut, called the quality of judgment. And Malchut, meaning that the whole world follows her quality. Since Malchut is called the Assembly of Israel, in which all 600,000 souls of Israel are included. And the whole work of Rosh Hashanah is to accept the burden of the kingdom. This is why we pray, reign over the whole world with your glory. In other words, Malchut means that we must accept and crown his kingship over us, so it does not have the form of Shechina in the dust, but a form of glory. This is why on Rosh Hashanah we pray and give glory to your people. That is, we ask that the Creator will let us feel, so we will feel the glory of heaven. Since Rosh Hashanah is the kingdom of heaven, which is in a state of Shekhinah in the dust, therefore, Rosh Hashanah is the time when we must ask the Creator to feel the glory of heaven. Of heaven will be glorified in our eyes. And since we want to ask the kingdom of heaven to be revealed throughout the world, meaning that the whole earth is full of his glory, will be sensed the world over, as it is written, and will bring everything to your servants. This prayer applies to both the general public and the individual. That is, since man is a small world, it means that he is included with the whole world. At that time, we ask that within our bodies there will be no residue of desire to work for our own sake. And likewise, in the whole world. Meaning that it will be the whole earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. In this manner, all the prayers of Rosh Hashanah are general prayers. The order of the blowing of the shofar is also according to the order of the work, which is in three lines. That is, when we begin the work of greater, we begin with one line. Since we can speak of right and left only when we have two lines. One line is called wholeness, and this is regarded as beginning with actions. That is, a person must say that since it is written, this day the Lord your God commands you,
Versace
said, each day they should be as new in your eyes as though today you were commanded them. It follows that each day is a new beginning, and when he begins with one line, he should be happy that he has the privilege of observing the law of the Creator. Afterward, he shifts to the intention, meaning to criticize how much he needs to do everything for the sake of the Creator. At that time begins the real work, since then he sees that he has not a single organ that wants to do anything for the sake of the Creator. This is already called left line. As our sages said, the left rejects. That is, he sees how far he is from the Creator. And he must believe that the Creator rejected him so that by this he will exert to make more efforts. Afterwards, he returns to one line called wholeness. But now, the one line is called right line, since the left line makes the one line become right. Then the person is rewarded with the middle line, called the Creator gives the soul. Wants to put it to sleep. Rav, we must not destroy any qualities or laws that exist in creation at all. We only need to arrange them according to our intention to bestow contentment to our Maker. And this is why to destroy something, to remove something, it's never our intention. The Creator didn't create anything in vain. Nothing is redundant. But rather, we should only connect correctly the connections between the forces of nature, and then to see how much they will operate in a nice, correct way according to the Creator's intention and according to the corrected intention of the created being. And in such a way, we will be able to advance. This is actually our work, our role. Can we say that thanks to the Creator putting our will to receive, to sleep, is this the power of overcoming? Rav. He doesn't quite put the will to receive to sleep. He gives us possibilities to use all the forces of nature according to how we decide to use them, so that we will learn from them what is to our detriment, what is to our benefit, and according to how much we want to be connected with Him. This is what we need to learn.
In
the article, he writes that self-love or the will to receive for oneself is the enemy. How is it possible to always place yourself in such a way, position yourself such that self-love, the will to receive for yourself, is the enemy? It's not always so clear that we can use it only in the opposite manner, not what the will to receive demands from us all the time, to receive, to be filled for its benefit, but rather that first we have to scrutinize how much by that we get closer to the Creator, we equalize with the Creator, and then we will use the will to receive in the right way.
So what causes us to see clearly that self-love is our enemy?
When we learn between us how much we want to connect with each other, and we see that all the time we forget about it, we run away from it, and that we don't want it. And this is how we begin to discover that our will to receive is truly against us.
Do
we always have to feel resistance
from the will to receive? Yes.
And if we don't feel a resistance, then, because sometimes the will to receive as if is in favor.
It's a sign that we agree with it and we operate against the Creator.
So we always should want to identify the resistance,
to detect that the will to receive, that it can only be in order to bestow, following great.
If
I'm a thief and every day I steal 100 shekels, let's say one day I didn't steal 100 shekels, so am I bestowing at 100 shekels?
Why so?
Because I didn't steal.
Yes, but to whom do you give by that? To whom do you bestow?
I don't give, but I don't take.
Okay, but it's still not considered giving.
In terms of the will to receive, if it doesn't steal,
it's not considered that it gave anything.
So what does it mean when he writes that one doesn't want the will to receive to die, but only
to repent?
That it will be poor.
Yes. The will to receive will not receive anything according to its choice, according to what it chooses. This is how it will continue until it will correct itself to become the opposite.
That's clear. I'm asking, the vessel of bestowal, bestowing in order to bestow, it doesn't take for itself, but it's not considered bestowal?
If we're talking about the created beings, then they have a will to receive, to begin with. This is the whole substance of creation, from its beginning to its end. And therefore, even if one doesn't work with will to receive, he's already in a certain... Again,
when a person is lying under the rule of the will to receive, these desires cause him a state of bitterness, and he wants to get rid of them, and he always thinks about how to get rid of them, and they poke his mind, and if he was able to kill them so they vanish, he would be very happy.
And the question is,
what can a person do in that state?
If he feels like that, then he also feels that the will to receive is not under his control, but rather the Creator created it, as it is written, I created the evil inclination. And then the person should only ask of the Creator to help him to cope with his will to receive.
What to ask in a state of such bitterness?
For forces. Forces to overcome, that the Creator will govern the will to receive, and the person will see how much it is possible, with the help of the Creator, to govern the evil inclination.
And if despite the requests he doesn't see a change in his state,
it's a sign that something is wrong with his request, because creation is arranged entirely in such a way that if a person asks correctly, he will get help. Or he needs to connect with the friends, or maybe he needs to know something more about what to do. There are many ways to the place.
The will to receive.
The egoistic will to receive always enjoys being in control. And its direction is to rule instead of the Creator over the whole of reality. The more a person advances, he sees himself that he needs more and more to rule over the evil inclination in such a way that the evil inclination will gain from being used in order to bestow. This is its entire inclination. This is why the evil inclination
Rav, is the will to receive when it's poor, does that mean it's corrected?
No. The corrected will to receive is when it feels itself that it can be in order to bestow. With this intention, one can use all the will to receive in it, in him, or all the emptiness within him in order to bestow to the whole world.
But I'm asking in terms of how a person feels within a corrected will to receive.
Yes, so the will to receive, he uses it with all his power in order to bestow. What is the question?
What does it mean poor, that the lust for pleasure in order to receive doesn't exist anymore? What is a poor will to receive, as King David describes it? A poor will to receive, what is that discernment?
Poor, meaning that he feels himself that he has no power to bestow. And if he has the power to bestow, he uses it. He's no longer considered poor.
And the lust for receiving in order to receive, that is what?
Yes, that means he's already above it.
And then another lust appears.
There is no longer any lust.
And distance is a friend. They're not happy about that. So I want to ask, how do we break that point? I'd say that negative acceleration where a person finds himself entering this kind of like depression where he distances and cools down. How does we do the opposite there and start to see how much the Creator is actually bringing you closer and the friend?
It's only through connection with the friends. These states that you are talking about, you cannot get out by yourself. Envy, lust, honor, through connection with the friends, they are the things that help a person ascend.
And that friend, it's hard to come to him and to see this when he's with honor and envy. And so how do the friends bring that friend closer and say, listen, here, rejoice, look what strength you're getting, what forces you're getting.
This is exactly what the friends should do. Constantly show each other the correct states in the work.
Exactly.
Our action is that we always try to work with all of our forces for the sake of connection and through the connection in order to bestow to the Creator. And then we see how much all of our vessels can be positive vessels.
From
Belarus, what is the mitigation of the judgments in spiritual work?
That I add the intention to bestow to our actions.
How to work correctly with the thought in order to turn to the Creator from the depth of the heart.
Through the thought, I count my desires, I dig into my desires and intentions, into the depth of them, and what I want is to scrutinize their intentions.
That's it, thank you.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот мы говорили сегодня, что мы не убиваем мешающие.
Yes, dear Rav, we said today that we're not killing those foreign thoughts that the Creator doesn't give us nothing redundantly. How do we overcome them? What does it mean to overcome those foreign thoughts that divert a person and bother him in the connection with the friends?
Imagine to yourself that you have no forces of resistance. Then how will you be able to advance? You need something that you overcome, that you rise above it. This is how we are in a world that is entirely made of two forces, the force of bestowal and the force of reception, and therefore it's impossible to have one without the other.
А что значит, что я преодолел? То есть я же стараюсь.
What does it mean that I have overcome? After all, I'm trying to get rid of those bad thoughts, to incorporate.
We don't want to just erase them or burn them or lose them in some way. We need to be above them, which means to use them in the right way, where we are above these forces that disturb us, that hinder us, and we get closer to the Creator. Otherwise, we won't be able to get closer.
You talk a lot about me kind of like leaving the evil inclination and connect above it, with the friends, above it with the Creator? What does it mean that I leave the evil inclination and with that connect with the friends and work with them?
But I don't work with my evil inclination, but rather I want to connect with the friends and only to be inside the good inclination. But as much as I work on the with the good inclination, I come back to the evil inclination. I seemingly awaken it, and this is how I advance. It's impossible to only go on the right leg.
Предположим, возникла у меня какая-то мысль отвлекающая. Я говорю, нет, я сейчас не буду тебя думать, а буду...
Let's say a certain thought that diverts me from the path arises in me. So I try to say no, and I go try to connect with the friends. What does it mean that I return to the evil incarnation now?
So when you want to connect with the friends, you need to use both forces. So that opposite your right is the left of the friend and the other way around, and this is how you connect.
Левое товарищи, что ж левое товарищи?
За не краешь и трое я озору.
Each one shall help his friend. When you connect between you, you connect the forces of bestowal and the forces of reception, so that they'll work together.
Rav said, if a person asks correctly, he receives aid from above. The question is, what prevents you from asking correctly?
Our ego. We need to annul ourselves, each one of us towards the others, to connect between us in a single desire to act with one intention, and then as much as we try to be in that, we need to turn to the Creator so He will shape this connection for us. Then we'll succeed.
Здравствуйте. Здесь в статье практически в самом конце написано, что
заповедях says that a person should be in joy from the work of Torah and Mitzvot. He then should have a scrutiny inside of himself. How much does he feel the necessity to do everything for the sake of heaven? What is this state where I suddenly find myself in joy and I begin to make a scrutiny whether all of this is for the sake of heaven? How do we imagine for myself this heaven of Bishma?
The upper force that holds all your qualities and you to the extent of identifying with it, you can act correctly.
Let's say that I organize a meal or a breakfast for the bean and I feel happy because of it. How in this concrete state with that, can I stop this joy and say, this is for the sake of the Creator, or it's not for the sake of the Creator?
However you can describe it, that's how it will be. The action is an action. It's a correct action. The intention depends on how you tie your heart together with the friend's hearts to really bestow to them from your heart to their heart.
Доброе утро, Рав. Сказано в статье.
Good morning, Rav.
Когда человек пытается работать на отдачу.
It says in the article that when a person tries to work in bestowal, the body doesn't let him do it.
Творец забирает у него эти мысли работать на отдачу.
And later, it says that the Creator doesn't give him the forces to work in bestowal.
Пробуждение, собрание, все такое прочее.
Ваш вопрос.
We nevertheless try to have an awakening or...
В чем конкретно?
Чтобы работать на Творце.
Concretely, what are we lacking?
In order
to serve the Creator.
The intention to bestow to Him that He will be better off. It's like a woman has a baby and she thinks about how to do good to the baby. Doesn't matter what. Eating, putting it to sleep, giving it something to drink, keeping it warm, cooling it down, whatever it is, just to make sure it's good. That's how we should think about our group.
And or will that work always be? What are you despaired of? That I don't succeed in doing the work for the sake of the Creator.
So another step is open before you, which you can do.
This is the extra prayer.
Yes. You mustn't fall into despair. And this is how you can't, this is how you move forward with the group. If you hold on to the path, then you don't fall into despair so quickly.
To continue Vlad's question, you said that we have to work with the left of the friend. This means to work with the resistance that is revealed to me through the friends.
That too, yeah.
Or is there something else?
There's a lot more. Guys, come on. You can't ask, is there something else?
What does it mean to work with the left of the friend?
That you take his overcoming and his resistance and you try to turn that to the right. Okay.
To continue Vlad's question, you said that we have to work with the left of the friend. This means to work with the resistance that is revealed to me through the friends.
That too, yeah.
Or is there something else?
There's a lot more. Guys, come on. You can't ask, is there something else?
What does it mean to work with the left of the friend?
That you take his overcoming and his resistance and you try to turn that to the right.
What does it mean that the created being raises reflected light? How does it happen?
Values it. Values the reflected light, and in that way connects it to its action.
Не понял. А что значит продлевает отраженный свет?
I don't understand. What does it mean that it values the reflected light?
Values it, meaning that it wants to be more and more in that reflected light. That's what brings the created being closer to the Creator.
But
how does the created being, or we, through the unity in the ten, can raise reflected light? How do we do it?
Through the connection between us, that we want to connect all our tendencies towards the Creator together, that's what we do.
А теперь, что значит, что отраженный свет — это наше намерение, встречает прямой?
What does it mean that the reflected light, our intention, meets the direct light?
There's a clothing and a filling that we want to clothe on one another.
Так, а где мы здесь берем прямой свет? Как мы его с ним входим в контакт и облачаем?
From where do we take the direct light? How do we come in contact with it, and how do we clothe them on each other?
We discern in all the actions that come towards us what comes from above and what comes with it, from within. And that's how we can...
What I understand that Shlomo is asking that is that we see here a perfect process of equivalence of form, an attempt to reach equivalence of form with the light.
Yeah.
Why was there a need to break it? Why is it not enough? It becomes equal. We read that it became equal. to its root. So why was there a need to add another process here of shattering?
In order to understand the foundations and the reasons.
And the foundations and the reasons are not clear here?
No.
What's added in this process that's added after the breaking?
After the breaking, we reveal all the details. The shattering is a revelation. It's not that something happened by chance or because there's some malfunction, but it's in order to scrutinize. It's like in science, let's say. When we, in order to scrutinize something, we need to analyze the whole, meaning to take apart each and everything that's before us in order to understand the reasons for everything.
What's the benefit in all those details?
To understand the reasons. In the end, without that, we can't understand the whole process. Without that, we can't incorporate in Him. Without incorporating in Him, we can't give contentment to the Creator.
The reason seems to be clear here, from phase four and lack of equivalence of the first inequivalence of form, so the reason is clear. Will to receive, will to bestow, that's a general reason. Why is there a need for endless more details, which are eventually also will to receive and will to bestow, but in myriad ways? Why is it like that?
No, it's not like that. Here you're talking about forces in creation. And after they connect between them and shatter, one because of the other and that in front of the other. So in that, you already start getting from them all the details in order to build yourself before the Creator.
And is there no building of the bestow here?
No, not yet. We still didn't get to all those details that from them you can build creation in the stages of correction.
It sounds like something very fundamental was added here.
It's just as you... Just as you take a toy or a bicycle, I don't know what you had there in childhood, and you take it apart, and then you try to gather it back together. From this, you can understand how it works and why every part is important and how they're connected between them.
Thank you.
They both got it.
Bicycles.
But it's not clear from the explanation why bringing contentment to the Creator is not enough if I don't know the process. But I simply receive. Why did the vessel have to know the system and then to bring contentment to the Creator?
Until the vessel doesn't know the essence of its actions, how each and every action comes one out of the other, how they connect between them, so it can't give contentment to the Creator, because specifically by that, He bestows.
It's not clear why. Why, by knowing and participating, it means I'm bringing more contentment than if I simply receive as the Creator wanted it initially.
No, you don't. You can't. By one action, that it will be including everything without you feeling the essence of every action in action. Without that, you can't give contentment.
Can we use as an example a child who is playing a game and is enjoying himself as opposed to a grown-up?
Let's say the mother did something for the child, so she adds all kinds of flavors and all kinds of things, and it has to be warm or cold to the right measure, and more, just so that child will enjoy what she is giving him. That is actually, you can't just take pot and throw it before the kid. She has to give it to him with a teaspoon and hot and cold and everything that
this the Creator gives, but the little child doesn't understand. It just receives the final result and enjoys it.
Yeah, but the mother that gives to him, she's the one enjoying, especially what she's giving.
Right. But now, so it seems like the Creator gets contentment from giving to us and the child receives. But here we have a child who has to understand the heat, the cold, and all the details.
Yes, as much as the Creator is inserting his love in the refreshments that the child receives, that is what the child has to enjoy. Eventually, he's not enjoying the food itself, but the Creator's attitude towards him. He has to see the difference between these two things.
And the relation becomes clearer and better when we understand the distance, the details.
It completely neutralizes, disconnects one from the other, the main thing that the Creator is giving. And then by that, he starts feeling not what he's receiving in that portion, but what the Creator wants to give him in that portion, the inner light in that. And then
it receives a desire, the desire of the Creator.
The relation, the attitude.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So why is it that after this whole process there was another breaking and we fell to a place of no consciousness altogether?
In order to scrutinize exactly the Creator's relation towards us and from that to build our relation towards the Creator.
It's like the whole process that we're talking about here, we don't remember it now, and we have to build it from scratch. From scratch, we have to reconstruct it even though we don't know where we're going. It's like building from scratch. Why?
We think it's from scratch, but it's just the next degree. On every degree, you receive it as new.
What is the main innovation that we can say about the degree where we are now, where we have no knowledge?
It's foundations.
What is it?
That if before what was important for you was the taste, the flavors, so now the Creator's relation towards you is important. And then, as much as you can receive that relation in the right way, until we reach a state that to the extent that we relate, and according to that, me from my beloved, it's called, so I feel as much as he gives to me.
Again.
Yeah.
What does it mean to scrutinize the Creator's relation toward me?
As much as he has information, conditions, to begin with how he created me, as much as by that he wraps me in all that attitude and that relation in everything.
How does a person perform this scrutiny of the Creator's relation toward him?
By yearning to connect to the Creator, he starts feeling as much as the Creator is yearning towards him. And in that way they connect in the way that each one is drawn to the other. And then between them, there's already a complete connection.
But what is the purpose of this act of scrutiny if in the work the feeling is that the Creator's relation toward me is negative, and I have to say about that, about reason, that He is good and does good and His relation is perfect, etc.
So not relating that to the Creator, but we're relating it to our nature. The Creator's relation towards us is the good that does good, and there's no limit to His good. And we are in the form that we receive it in the opposite way, in order to be able to measure ourselves and check ourselves, because the advantage of light comes from the darkness.
Yes. Okay. We learned with you about the exit of the emergence of the will to receive through the light, how the Creator organized, set up the will to receive so it would achieve its correction and filling. So here the question is, how are sins and transgressions related? As it's written, go to the craftsman who made me. This is how I'm built, because the upper light, the upper force, created me. And by that, and this is how I exist. So what can I say about myself? Where am I? Where is my nature? Where are my desires? Who governs me? Who manages me? That you can say that there are sins and transgressions here on my part. All of this we will have to scrutinize, clarify. Please.
Number 7. For the sin, we sinned against you with the evil inclination. We should ask, but all the transgressions come from the evil inclination. We should interpret that the sin is in saying that there is an evil inclination instead of there is none else besides him. If a person is unworthy, he is thrown out from above. This comes by clothing in the will to receive, called the evil inclination. This is the meaning of, for the inclination of man's heart is in evil from his youth, meaning that the Creator created him this way. Since the will to receive is the actual vessel, except it must. It's written that we should interpret that the sin is in saying that there is an evil inclination. What does that mean?
That basically, it's the will of the Creator that awakens in a person deliberately, so that a person will scrutinize on top of it himself, his relation to the Creator.
Scrutinize my attitude towards the Creator is clear, but why does it say that the sin is in saying that there is an evil inclination?
Because everything is given from the Creator and not from any other side, although it's also written that way too sometimes. But it's according to the degree that a person can determine. And this is why we have to accept all those things as coming from above.
So every sin that's revealed, in the end, I have to see that the Creator did that to me also.
There is none else besides Him. The Creator did everything, and He did it all, so I would know His creation from beginning to end.
So where exactly is the place of man, of if not for me, who is for me? Where is the place that is not none else besides him?
There is no such thing.
So that paradox of none else but me or none else besides him, that's with us Togmo Tikkun, the end of correction.
Yes.
But to feel it every time, it's me, it's him, it's me, it's him, that's our work.
Yes, that's the revelation.
What?
More. Again. Yes.
אז במה בדיוק החטא האדם?
So, and what exactly is the sin of man?
Man's sin is when he says that there is a sin.
He writes that if a person is unworthy, he's thrown from above. Why is he unworthy?
Because he probably didn't discover what he should discover.
This action called toss someone from above, that's for man's benefit?
Everything is for man's benefit.
So it's a good thing, it's towards a correction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
כלומר שמשליחים אותו מלמעלה כי הוא עוד לא
so when he's thrown from above because he didn't scrutinize correctly that there's none else besides him and the good that does good.
אז על חטאים אנחנו עושים, רוצים לעשות חזרה בתשובה.
So, we want to repent over the sins. So the beginning of the...
What sins?
First of all, there's the sin that it's supposedly something from myself and not from the Creator.
That there are sins, yes.
So the first repentance is to acknowledge that everything came from none else besides Him.
Yes.
And how does the next part come from the good that does good, what we said?
After there's none else besides Him, you determine that that none else besides Him is good and does good.
But how? I have to feel it too?
Yes. With all your bones.
It looks like to determine that it's from the Creator. I do have an ability to do that.
No.
No?
No. No, you can't discover that it's from Him unless you feel that it's coming from there is none else besides Him and that He's good and does good. These things come together. Much so that we achieve adhesion.
So this, we were talking about the Days of Atonement, right? Yom Kippur.
Right.
So what should we do on Yom Kippur in this state? What should I say forgiveness for?
I have to correct, to try to see my evil and how much it helps me come closer to the Creator and enter the good.
So what do I have to do on that day? Can I cover my sins on Yom Kippur?
Yes.
How?
By determining that there is no evil in the world.
So that's a thought, but in the deed, in the ten, what do I need to do?
No, all our corrections are basically only in the intention.
In the ten, I need to do it with intention?
Yes. Women have two.
Thank you, Rav. I heard it's a sin to call the sin a sin, but it's also a sin to say that there's an evil inclination. So how do we call the evil that's revealed in man? How to call it?
It is the evil that the Creator created so that we would recognize it and be able to correct. By changing our relation, our attitude toward Him.
And I have no responsibility about it, it's just from the Creator.
Until we discover the good and does good in the Creator and thank Him for creating the whole world in this way. And we can distinguish between bad and good and then exist between the two of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to feel ourselves as created beings.
So what's the special work now on the Day of Atonement when a person sees the good and the bad? What should we do there in the middle?
We have to be in the middle between good and bad. And feel that the bad was created only so we would know the good. Without having good, there will not be bad. And without having bad, there will not be good. So then we would have no sensation of no sensation of reality.
Should man ask that the Creator correct the evil at its root?
Yes. Yes.
Да, спасибо, Раф. А вот здесь был про грех много. Что такое вообще грех?
We talked about the sin. What is a sin in the spiritual work? Is fortune telling a sin? What is a sin?
Грех. Авера. Зе ше ани.
A transgression is when I
ло микабель это боре китов.
Don't relate or accept the Creator as the good who does good and that there is none else besides Him. That's the source.
If we said that the sin is that we don't know about none else besides Him, the good that does good. So what does it mean the sin is before the friend now?
You cannot reach adhesion with the Creator unless you do it through adhesion with all the friends along the way. Friends on the path.
Yeah, that's something we learn, love of the Creator through the love of the created beings.
So,
but is there a separation between a sin between man and the Creator and man and the others? What is a sin between man and the Creator and what is a sin between man and the created beings?
There's a difference.
So what's the difference between them?
That you cannot come closer to the Creator unless you first connect with all the other people.
That part is clear, but in the previous excerpt we read, you said that the sin is to say that there is a sin, and our work is to acknowledge that there's none else besides Him good that does good. So if I did a horrible deed towards a friend now,
yes,
I also have to say or acknowledge that it came from the Creator, and so on and so on. So where is, what is this thing, a sin between man and the friend?
I don't understand. When you commit a sin toward a friend, by this you commit a sin toward the Creator.
Okay, and I have to understand that it came from the Creator and none else besides Him.
What is it?
Again, the whole previous session, we stood on that point, that the fact that a person said that he sinned, that is the sin. And
yes,
he has to say that everything came from the Creator. So how suddenly when we work in front of the friends, it's not from the Creator and it is a sin I did towards the friends?
No, that too comes from man and it comes also from the Creator. And if he wants to connect with the Creator, he has to correct his relation to man, to the person. And then out of this, we will have a correction of man's relation to the Creator.
So practically, a person has to calculate in this time what he did wrong to the others and how to correct his attitude towards the others?
Of course. Otherwise, the Day of Atonement will not be over.
So it doesn't end with none else besides Him, the good that does good. He does have to do soul searching, how I can make my deeds better.
He must. He must ask for forgiveness from every single one.
What is the transgression between man and his friend?
A transgression between a person and his friend is when he thinks that it is the friend who harmed him and not the Creator.
And how does he make his friend happy?
By asking the Creator and asking the friend to forgive him and allow him to come closer to them.
What's the action of forgiveness?
The act of forgiveness is when he sentences himself or judges himself.
And do you have to practically say something to the friend?
Yes. To the friend and to the... Yes.
Sorry, Rav, it's not clear everything that's going on here, at least for me. If we're speaking of man's attitude towards the Creator, it's clear I have to do some correction. My perception here is broken, that's clear. But what's this whole matter of the friend, transgression with the friend, sorrow from the friend? What are all those actions?
Why?
Because if the work is before that upper force that he created the world to receive, the evil inclination, I have to understand that everything I see shattered in the world, all sins, is just lack of adhesion to the Creator. It's like everything is in relation to that force. So how suddenly is there work before the friends? What transgressions do I have before the friends that I have to ask for forgiveness? What is that action even? It's not clear.
Lama?
Why? Why do you think that you're not committing any sins against him?
It sounds very corporeal. We are trying to reach a connection to the Creator, reach love, that he's going to change my qualities to be like him. So the work in front of the friends is to discover the places of the evil inclination, where I want for myself, where I have an intention to myself, and ask the Creator to correct it. Where are there actual transgressions here? I'm transgressing here. It sounds the opposite.
But if you're not asking that he would correct you, it's not a transgression?
Towards the Creator, why is the friend connected to this?
You have no transgressions against the friends?
He writes, yes, but that's what's confusing. Because what transgression could I have before the friend? I come to the tent. I want to discover the Creator. I want him to change my qualities, to be like him. So we're doing work here in the tent, trying to connect, doing everything. We say the evil is revealed. It is. It's not that a person chooses to do the evil. It's revealed. Who revealed it? The Creator. So we can say, you discovered the evil, correct it. Where is the transgression towards a friend here? What, I have freedom of choice to do evil to a friend?
The fact that you don't see how through your actions you're stopping the Creator and the friend on the way to correction. What can you do?
Okay,
you don't see it.
Okay, so that's something else. I don't see it. But it sounds about all kinds of transgression. I did this to a friend. I insulted a friend. I don't know what.
It's...
What you're describing is completely different. Is that I don't see my own shattering, that I don't see my intentions are hidden from me, and I have to see them being revealed every time, and some evil that's being revealed. This circle I understand, but I can't understand where there's actually doing evil to a friend, a transgression, a sin towards a friend, to ask for forgiveness. That isn't clear either. Prayer, I understand, it's work in the heart, but what is forgiveness? What I'm speaking in words here, this whole attitude is, it sounds very corporeal.
It's still too soon to answer you.
This whole holiday, the Day of Atonement, sounds very weird suddenly. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's a calculation.
But we calculate every day. Every evening comes to ask, what did you do? Did you come to the tent? Did you try to work? Did you try to come close to a friend? Did you discover that you're different, shattered? Did you ask? That's a calculation. What other calculation after a year I do on the Day of Atonement? It sounds so artificial.
But still, there is this custom of making this calculation. It's a custom.
I understand the custom, but what about error correction? How do we actually correct this thing? Again, I'm going back to the beginning. If the sin is that a person determines that there's something except for the Creator who created the world to receive, and that's what's shattered, that's what keeps them away from the Creator. What are the other sins? What are the other transgressions? What are you asking for forgiveness for?
Nothing. That's the main thing. Yes.
So I don't understand the meaning of asking for forgiveness from the friends.
The friends, the Creator, it is all in order for me to ask forgiveness for not being focused on putting all the parts of creation together and out of that to turn to the Creator.
Okay, so there's something personal here. Avinom, Amit, I'm sorry of things I did to you, or it's me before the system called Creator that is revealed like friends.
That too.
So there's also the general perception and also personally in front of the people.
Yes, yes. This is what we have to do on the Day of Atonement, or before the Day of Atonement, at the atonement for sins, for transgression, for iniquities.
So what is asking for forgiveness? They ask for like children.
Take a prayer book and sit before the friends and read what it means to atone, to make atonement.
I did homework with my son yesterday in the second grade. It means to say sorry on what you did and not to do it again.
Well,
that's the work in front of the friends.
This is before the friends.
It sounds like kindergarten.
It is like in the kindergarten. So what? What do you think? Our whole life is not in the kindergarten?
And to the friend. Why is there an importance towards a friend? There's so many details in reality. Why is the friend important?
Because he's the one who presents to me my relation to others.
But man, if he thinks of himself, so he damages all of reality, not only the friends.
This is already philosophy.
Why? It's felt in men. There are whole movements working in this. It's also felt. When I throw things into the garbage, I'm thinking, why am I polluting my reality? Why can't I be a person that is more concerned of the environment? I feel it. It awakens in me somehow. It started happening at some age. Why is this a secondary attitude and the attitude towards a friend is the main one?
Because the friend is a human being like you. And to the rest of nature, we can address it gradually more and more.
So maybe the question is, why not to relate to the most exalted part of reality, which is the Creator, but only to relate to like lesser details, like a friend? That's what it seems to a person. That's how it's depicted to us, that there's an upper Creator and that there's friends in this world.
So we need to ask forgiveness from the friends. We have such a prayer in the prayer book where we sit and read it before everyone. And we ask for forgiveness. And after that, we begin.